Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Joshua. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of the book of Joshua, the historical presentation of God's giving of the land to the people, the children of Israel, the Israelites, the Jewish nation. We're at chapter 22, after we have found there in 21 that there was not any good thing that God had promised, chapter 21, verse 45, there was not any good thing that God had promised, not one of those good things, that the Lord had not given. Everything was to come to pass. And here in chapter 22, we see the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh being allowed to go home the other side of Jordan. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "Ye have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but you have kept the charge of your commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Notice this is a, well, I guess it's a charge that's given to these 2.5 tribes. And Joshua is saying, be very diligent to take heed to the fact that you've promised to worship the Lord your God as you should, to serve the Lord your God as you should. Now, here's the problem that we talked about when this was discussed about the 2.5 tribes being on the other side of Jordan. When they're there and separated by the River Jordan from their compatriots, from their brothers in Jewishness, when they are not able to easily get to wherever the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, is set up, in this case it's now in Shiloh, what would be the response of these 2.5 tribes? It's a long way to go to where the tent of meeting is. It's a long way to go to the tabernacle. Why do we need to go there? Why should we worry about the feasts of the Jews? Why do we have to keep doing this? It's not that important, is it? If it were that important, we'd be closer to them, wouldn't we? Those kinds of things were the things that took up their mind. But here, Joshua, being the wise man that he was, being the man of God that he was, is here talking to Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he says, listen, you must do as the servant of the Lord Moses charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, to cleave to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now this is true for each one of us. It's especially true when we depart from being with the group that we've perhaps grown accustomed to being with. Perhaps you're a youngster going off to college or university, or after university you came home and now you're on your way from the home church and the home people and the family, going to your first job. Or maybe there's been a wedding and you're taking up family life yourself, and you're leaving the nest, as it were, and establishing a new one. All of that requires that you maintain diligence toward God, a diligent heed to do what the Lord commands us to do. We're to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our being, everything that we are, and we're to love the neighbor as ourselves. We are to make sure that the rule of life is not the rule of gold, but it's the golden rule, where Jesus taught us that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Now, I know that's been plagiarized, and it's been rewritten so many different ways, and it's been blasphemized, if you will. But the truth is, if we are to have peace with God, we are to follow the commandments of Christ. We are not saved, that is, placing our faith in Christ, having Christ awaken us to life from deadness, is spiritual things. We're not made alive in Christ to be dead to Him by our living. I don't mean to confuse you, but what I'm telling you is that when we come to faith in Christ, we must follow Christ. That's what we are to do, and that's what Joshua was telling these folks here in verse 5 of chapter 22. You're going to be living away from us. You're going to be living apart from us. You and your families are going to start doing things your own way because you won't have us to help influence you. So be diligent in taking heed to do everything that the commandments and the law had to say that you should do. Verse 6, so Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their own tents, went to their tents. Now, there's something for us to understand here. A minister of the gospel, a pastor, a shepherd, a great shepherd such as Joshua was, a great leader of men, can only propose for the heart of those who will listen. Of course, God disposes all things, but it's man in his heart that will cogitate upon the advice, the commandments given by leadership, and will either be complicit and do what they should do, or will be rebellious and will suffer the consequences. You can't lead people who do not want to be led. I've been in pastorates where I found that to be very truthful, and I think every pastor finds that true at one level or another. Where you lead the sheep, the flock of God, as far as you can, as much as you can, and when they refuse to be led anymore, it's pandemonium. Because if you don't have a leader when it comes to spiritual matters, and I'm talking about a spiritual leader, one that is covered by the very Holy Spirit of God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, if you don't have that kind of leader, you have no way to find a direction. You just don't. Yes, I know the Holy Spirit of God works within each of our lives, but we are told that we are together that we might gain by doing so. And what do we gain? Well, we gain knowledge, we gain wisdom, we have iron sharpening iron with such a gathering, and we have leadership from God Almighty through the under-shepherd. In this case, it was Joshua. So Joshua did all he could. He told them what to do, and then he blessed them and sent them away. They went to their own dwelling. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. But unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment, divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house a prince, throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake unto them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? They were steamed. They were hot. They were upset. They were very much jealous of the Lord and His righteousness. They've just gone through this big set of fights. They've seen the enemy of God destroyed at all these different levels. And here they see their brethren looking as if they're going to start some sort of new religion. That's what they're thinking. And so they said, Look, why are you doing this? Why have you done this day, building an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Verse 17, Is this the iniquity of Peor too little? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that ye must turn away from this day, from following the Lord? And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. They're saying, Look, brothers, if you are following after false gods, you're going to bring the judgment of Almighty God himself down upon all of us, your brothers in Jehovah. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Notice the further understanding here. If the land needs cleansing, and you need an altar by which to do the cleansing, just move across the Jordan, bring your people over, we will share the land with you. We will re-subdivide the land. You asked not to come in. You asked to stay on the other side. Moses gave you permission, told you what the requirements were. You fulfilled all the requirements, but now it looks like you're starting your own religion. We don't want this. Verse 20. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and the wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if it be in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto your children, unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore, said we, that it shall be, when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, and for sacrifices, because the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. He said, listen, the altar of the Lord is in Shiloh right now with the tabernacle. We understand that. We didn't put this thing together to try to circumvent the truth of the altar in Shiloh. We didn't do that. What we did was we built an altar here after the altar at the tabernacle so that our children would know that we are the children of Israel. We are all part of the same family, and if for some reason in future years, the children of the 9.5 tribes come to the 2.5 tribes and say, you don't belong to us. They have the altar there to show this was built by our forefathers to maintain a witness of who we are in God Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. So it's a witness between those that live on the west of Jordan, those that live on the east of Jordan. God forbid, verse 29, that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt sacrifices, meat offerings, sacrifices beside, because, the word beside is there, but the word because works very well, because the altar of the Lord our God is before his tabernacle. Verse 30, and when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel that were with him, heard the words of the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. No war is going to happen here. You see, they're happy to know that they want their children, who will be coming on in generations, to know their heritage. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. So notice, if your name is Ed, you are a witness between us and the Lord, between us and that the Lord is God. So what's happening? This altar was given a name. I find that interesting. But the altar was given a name, and it is a witness. That's what Ed really means, a witness. And so it becomes a witness between two different groups of relatives. It's a witness of what? That the Lord is God. The Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. So this witness, this edifice, this altar of stone called witness, became the witness altar at the Jordan River. It was witness between those tribes on the east, those tribes on the west, and it gives forth the truth that they're part and parcel of the same family in Jehovah God Almighty.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.